man. Jesus. What do you reckon about that? That's
right.
I don't
know what's going on there.
NFL Australia, watch out. I'm your new dad for the second time, co-host James Clements. I'm a guy who just had a kid 3 days. Well, my old mate had a kid.
Crowd goes wild.
I didn't do much. I just kept it really hydrated, guys. That's the secret. Anyway, I'm here in Larry Harmer Studios after week one of the NFL season. On the other side of this here iPad, it's a bloke. Not allowed back in Sydney, I reckon, after this week. A little bit of chaos caused. His Eagles came out. Actual winners. Not entirely convincing, I might say, but it is sometimes singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He's my mate. He is your mate. It's Gaz. Gaz, we're a day late, not a buck short. It's week one. It was chaos. How you going? Are you excited?
Mate, I'm doing it right. I literally, you're unslept, unrested. I got off a plane from Sydney about half an hour ago, and I think I've been, putting a lot of booze in my booze and bloodstream for the last 3 days. So we'll see how this goes, right? There's a lot of football involved, and let's do a whole bunch of overreactions because it's week one and that's what you do, right? You just go, the season's fucked already.
But right off the bat, this is going to be a truncated show because, I had a kid 3 days ago, and he's actually, we got back to the house today, so it's a little bit of chaos. This is a bit late, as you might expect, Shit's going down, but we are going to wrap up week one for you, set you up for week two, and that'll basically be it. I reckon we'll do some quick yeah-nahs in there, but it won't be the full kit and caboodle of NFL Australia. Nah. It'll come close. We'll just do it as quick as we can. So, episode 51 of NFL Australia, Gaz. Let's go. Oh, jeez. Oh, I don't know. Russell Wilson. I don't know if I should trust him. Let's try to kick the second longest field goal in the history of NFL to win this game. That'd be really good. Oh, hey, I'm Nathaniel Hackett, and you're listening to NFL Australia. All right, guys, week one. What a week it was. So, having written an article about this week already, the word I kept coming back to was chaos. I love using the word chaos. It's very evocative. But the weirdest thing was, we get week ones where shit is crazy. We get week ones where injuries happen. We get upsets, surprises. But, it's week one. You never know what's going to happen. You've had all off-season to plan for it. And then, boom, I feel like this is one of the crazier week ones you could have ever expected, right? In terms of surprises, upsets, I reckon there was a point there on Monday morning where I think there was four games going on at once, where they were almost all either driving for a win or for a tie or to get out of a tie at once.
Yeah.
It was fucking I'm on the iPad, I'm on the big telly, I'm just trying to scooch around all of them. It was nuts. So quick random thoughts before we just wrap. We're going to fly through a week, want to wrap up all the games for you, but Dak Prescott's, busted his thumb by high-fiving a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Pretty gnarly. TJ Watt. They reckon he hasn't torn his left pec, but it fucking looked like it. So we'll see what happens there. We had some weird coaching fuck-ups, as you might expect. As I mentioned, as Nathaniel Hackett popped on just then and decided to not trust Rusty Wilson, the $250 million man, and instead decided to try to kick a 64-yard field goal in Seattle to win a game on Monday night. Pretty gnarly. Mm. There was just a whole mess of shit going on in that Cincy-Pittsburgh game. The Titans lose to the Giants. Anyway, it was pretty nuts. My big takeaway, though, Gaz, underdogs and home field. Don't fuck around in week one. Got to stay safe out there. And I nailed you to the wall with some of the picks as well. 9-7.
Yeah, that annoyed the shit out of me. There's a bunch of coverages there that I was like, fuck.
Just saying. Right, so let's fly through what happened in week one. Buffalo. Absolutely smoked the Rams. This was not how I envisioned this game. 31-10. 31-10, Gaz, and it wasn't even close. Ruffalo came out absolutely fired up. The Rams just looked anemic. Matt Stafford looked like a bloke who hadn't played football since the Super Bowl, which might have actually been the truth.
Truth, yeah.
Either way, Josh Allen, it's a hell of a start to your MVP campaign, wasn't it? Prime time.
Yeah, I mean, we both picked the same thing, right? We're both high on the Bills. You gave me a lot of shit about the picking the favorite and picking Josh Allen, but we kind of both thought that the Rams had come up and just at least week one the Bills would need some settling in time That was not the fucking case. They just really came into SoFi and just tore it apart.
Absolutely smoking.
How was the fucking? But how was the two key fantasy football nuggets from this game? Was Cam Akers 3 rushes for 0 stats? So that doesn't help any Rams fans and
or
Alan,
anybody who bet on Cam Akers having over 44.5 yards. Gas.
Yeah, just, that'll be you. Saying. And hey, Rob. That guy, apparently he's on the Rams now.
Yeah, so imagine if you'd also put some money on him having over 65.5 yards and a touchdown. I mean, geez.
Yeah, I reckon both those guys are going to be required for the Rams to win some actual fucking games this year.
I'm just going to tip my hand. I'm going to go double down on them this week, though. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Right. Then we had Monday morning. Absolute chaos. New Orleans beat the Atlanta Falcons 27-26 in a bullshit, insane come-from-behind win. Where we had, at the very end of that game as well, like where Jameis Winston led, what, 2 touchdown drives right at the end, and they kick a field goal to take the lead. Atlanta had a chance, though, because of a stupid penalty right at the end, to have a crack. Youngway Koo, right? He had the ping from, what was it, 64 yards or something
64,
insane.
And got blocked, yeah.
Yeah, blocked in the end. But still, New Orleans with the absolute fucking escape artist act against the shitty, horrible, like... I'm going to talk about this later, but preseason matters, and like this was one of the reasons. Like the Saints did not look like they're on song for that first half, and then they finally put it together.
Nah. So look, I think the thing for me out of this one is one of the things I was going to add to the random thoughts is that comment that, you know, what's the old adage? The more things change, the more they stay the same. You've got Mariota, you've got London, you've got some different weapons in the Falcons, and yet the same blowing that lead at the end of the game just fucking happens.
It's
and
like
you know
a,
what?
My, it's like a hoodoo curse. A voodoo curse has been put on them by like Tom Brady and the Patriots, right? After the Super Bowl, it's like, oh, we're going to find every single way to blow a fucking lead. We're going to hit every single possibility.
Yeah, but then the other side, oh, how long since Michael Thomas has played? And then what? 2 touchdowns there? That nice back shoulder throw. Like that back shoulder throw and the second touchdown was just fucking pretty. Now, I think we didn't touch on it too much last week when we were talking about our assumptions on the season. But, you know, the Saints' defense kept them in a lot of things last year. But if you look at the Saints' offense this year, when you've got, like, Olave and Thomas back, and you've got, you know, Taysom Hill as who's the worst categorized fucking tight end of all life. But Landry looked fucking psyched and pumped and back in it like Landry from pre-Browns, right? Yeah. So you look at that and they've got add Kamara to that and there's some fucking weapons on that Saints offense to maybe that's not a simple walk into the playoffs for Tampa Bay while he's going through his divorce and trying to work out whether he wants to play football anymore.
The good thing is we get to talk about that again later in the show.
Exactly.
San Francisco, another hot tip going into Chicago. You're right. Chicago are going to be the worst team in the NFL. They're going to lose. Nope, they won 19-10 because, of course they did. Trey what Lance versus Jussie Fields, great times. Wet weather sliding through the water. It was awesome. And Chicago pulled it out. And San Francisco just looked like a fucking mess. Like, as soon as that monsoon hit, it was kind of, it just sort of ground to a halt. And the home team pulled it out. Like, it was very strange, but I don't know. Don't trust the Niners.
Nah, it was real.
Not in that one.
It was really fucking crazy. And once again, like in terms of tell me a room in the NFL that is cursed as much as the 49ers running back room, like in terms of just injuries, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, in terms of the rain and the weather, like it's very rare that you're like, you know, can you just wipe the fucking camera down so I can see what's going on the field? Was it this game that the penalty happened because the holder?
Dotted
the field with a towel,
yep.
And that's apparently illegal. That's fucking weird. Never heard of that before, but sure enough. Okay.
Cool. But yeah, what was it? It was like 2 touchdowns or whatever, and was it 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and they pulled it out. Like, it was just like, holy shit. Okay, good job, Bears. I will bet heavily against them this week. Cincy. this was just an array of fuck-ups at the end for the Bengals.
What
they
the
lose at home to the Steelers 23-20 in overtime. After, what, field goal fuck-ups,
five turnovers.
The strip sack at the end on Joe Burrow was the one that absolutely killed him, because I think...
Well, five turnovers from Burrow total, right? Three picks and two fumbles, I think it was.
I feel like there might have been another one as well. But yeah, it was it was not great. But at the same time, like, he still lit it up. Like, it's the crazy sort of part when it comes to Joe Burrow. But six... Was it four interceptions? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there you go.
Not ideal. Not ideal.
But yeah, then the missed field goal. Like, I just, like, because I was trying to watch other games at the same time, and you just got social media blowing up going, what the fuck am I watching here? Is this game ever going to end?
Yeah, it was it was brutal, and just like a sort of, I don't know, run of fuck-ups. But like, the Steelers just like lived in the Bengals, you know, faces, right? They're getting to Burrow time after time after time. Defense, the sacks. Yeah. Like, what was it, like 6 or 7 times he was sacked, and it was TJ Watt, and then TJ gets, obviously he hurts his arm and sort of runs off, sort of, like, his arm just wasn't moving. It was pretty weird.
Yeah.
So I think it was in the fourth quarter. And, but the rest of the team, I don't know, it's just a weird, strange game where Cincy, again, this is like where you have those moments, it feels like they're a better team. They purportedly sort of, you know, solidified that offensive line, and then the Steelers just lived in Joe Burrow's pocket. Like, it just made no sense. But anyway, like,
look, I think you're right in terms of you know, the importance of preseason, and I'm sure I'm going to touch on this when it gets to the Eagles and the Eagles defense. But you can add a whole bunch of parts, but they all have to settle in and play as a unit, right? So they've invested heavily in that offensive line, but it doesn't mean that a solid defense like the Steelers can't take advantage of that when they're still settling in.
Philly 38, Detroit 35.
Wow.
Gaz.
Fucking wow. All right, let's take the... I should give you a time for this episode. I know, you should give me a time for this. No, but this was, look, in terms of offense, I couldn't ask for any more. Jalen Hurts started 0 for 5, but then ended up at, you know, 250 yards and put 90 on the ground. But it's the greatest ever debut performance by a wide receiver for the Eagles came from AJ Brown, who put up 155 yards. Unfortunately, focusing on him means, like, Devontae Smith didn't touch the fucking ball. But yeah, what the biggest problem for the Eagles was all of those pieces on defense they clearly didn't have working, because DeAndre Swift. Absolutely tore them a new arsehole. Like, just blitzed through the Eagles. And, we'll touch on this in a bit about this week's game. But, DeAndre Swift isn't Delvin Cook, who they've got next. So, I'm a little bit worried if they can't keep him in check. But, yeah, the fact that they were 17 points up in the fourth quarter to win or seal it based on a Jalen Hurts dive to end the game was a little bit concerning.
The good thing is we get to happy news. Miami 20, New England 7. Moving right along. Baltimore.
Wow. How long was it at zero score? And I've seen every time I turned over, it was Tua to Hill.
It was just
Tua
gross.
To Waddle.
Whatever. Look, I've been pretty straightforward about this. The Pats didn't score until, what was it, the third quarter. And this was just gross. Like, I'd had a kid that day, so that morning I woke up, caught up on the Pats game, fanged through it. I'm just like, this is, why am I watching this? Like, what? This is horrible. Like, the offense was discombobulated.
Why would I hurt myself?
Looked like shit. The defense looked like shit. And Miami, look, they could have had, this should have been like at least 35-7, not 20-7. So embarrassing. Look, and Mac Jones kind of had like a weird back injury, but it sounds like it's just a bit of bruising at the moment, but. You know, fingers crossed he's okay, but yeah, whatever. I don't have a giant amount of faith in this year's set of Patriots until Bill just goes, hang on a second. Matt Patricia's a fucking moron. What am I doing? Anyway, Baltimore, they smashed the Jets 24-9. It wasn't really smashing. Like, I think the Jets outgained the Ravens in this game, which is fucking crazy. But it's still the Jets and it's still Joe Flacco. So basically, it was a lot of, weirdly enough, it was Baltimore sort of moving it through the air, because the Jets, pretty sturdy on the ground, kind of slowed down the Baltimore run attack. But
Yeah. You know? A couple of very, very pretty looking passes from Lamar to Duvernay.
I do love it when Lamar just goes, oh, yeah, no, I can throw it, you idiot.
Off yeah. Well, he's 64 yards for a TD. That's fine. No worries.
Washington held on against Jacksonville 28-22. This is the Carson Wentz all-in-one giant dumb fucking package game.
I was about to say that. You literally horrible, got every piece of Carson Wentz.
The entire Carson Wentz experience in one game. Interceptions where you're like, oh, he might lose his
job. Two in two passes, mate.
Two passes back to back. It was insane.
In two passes.
But then led the comeback and they got the win. And Jacksonville, like Trevor Lawrence almost feels like, you know, like a lower level version of Wentz where you're like, he just sometimes doesn't look good. And you're like, dude.
Yep.
Like, I thought you meant to be the fucking promised one, but this is, ugh. And this is now going, you know, all through last year, we're like, you got to show me something. And he'd have a flash. But in this game, like he looks competent, and then he looks wildly incompetent. It's fucking weird, yeah. Man. Etienne didn't cover himself in glory, I'll tell you that much. But, yeah, this Jacksonville team, look, I think they'll bounce back. I think they at least will be better. Whatever, Carolina. Oh, God, they lose the Baker Bowl, 26-24 to Cleveland. Cleveland coming in. This was a mess. Looked like Baker was sort of running around like a chook with its head cut off. Chubb dropped to, what, 141 on the ground?
Yep.
Amazing. Nice to know that the year I didn't draft Robbie Anderson, he decided to show up. And
I know, show up. That's like, I think there's you're not by yourself there, mate.
Yeah. Houston and Indy tied in overtime.
Well, that was not what we expected from any of that. I did mention a couple of times that, like, everyone keeps reacting like Matt Ryan is Matt Ryan from 2016, and he's fucking not.
But the thing is, like, that Indy defense should be good enough to not let Houston score 20, right? And, like, so I think that was the right play. Yeah. The thing was, I think they might have been 7.5-point favorites, which, in retrospect, you're like 7.5 in week one. On the road is probably too many, even as bad as Houston are, because there's always something squirrely happens in week one, too. And this is one of them, because we got an overtime tie. I mean, Jonathan Taylor was dominating, Pittman was dominating, but their defense just sort of gave up some weird, shitty things. Mills Mafia crushed it. Good job, Houston. Whatever. Tennessee lose in heartbreaking fashion to the Giants. Missed Fat Randy field goal right at the end, right? Wide left. I think it was the Giants. Fucking, they were down 13 in this. It was incredible. Saquon ripped off some massive yards, 164 yards.
200 from scrimmage or something. Yeah,
he was so good.
He was gonna run angry. That's it. He's been saying it all off season. It's whether he can keep it up and stay healthy is the vibe, right?
Brian Daboll dancing with the dudes. You love to see that. Good old egghead.
Danny Dimes looking somewhat competent.
Oh no. Danny Dimes is one of the absolute just enigmas of quarterbacking where you just go, cool, that's it. He is not your guy. And then he'll just do something and you go, oh, maybe if he puts it together. It's so fucking wildly frustrating.
That bomb to Shepard that are like, oh.
It was great.
Anyway, it was great.
Green Bay going to Minnesota and lose as we predicted, 23-7.
Wow.
And the under hit by a lot, obviously. So
It wasn't that they lost. It was how painful it looked. Like Aaron looked like Aaron hitting targets. Just the guy who was the target wasn't the same as it was last year. That bomb to the rookie that he hit in step that just went straight through his hands. That would have been a touchdown if he caught it. You were like, feel that.
Meanwhile, Jefferson had, a career-high 184? And he had, 150 and two touchdowns by halftime. So he was, uncovered. Smith, it was incredible.
And Harrison Smith on defense for the Vikes was just living in fucking Aaron Rodgers' backyard, right? Like, he was just all over the place. It was pretty... but I think we predicted that, right? I think that's what we mentioned last year, last week, is that...
it was Minnesota's season. It was Minnesota's season.
I also called Minnesota Minneapolis, 15 times in last episode. But what I said was, they always start off strong and give all this hope, and then they lose half a dozen games in heartbreaking fashion, whereas... the Packers always do the fucking opposite. They got torn apart by the Jags or something in week one last year. And everyone was like, they're over. It's done. And then all of a sudden they they solidified. So anyway, we kind of predicted that, and yeah,
they got killed by somebody last year. Yeah,
Wickman.
Yeah, it was like, was it like Tampa Bay or somebody? But they held them to like, yeah, just 3 points or something, and it was like 100% one of those RELAX
kind of moments.
In week one last year, yeah, it was New Orleans, 38-3.
Unbelievable. New Orleans, there you go.
Yep. Anyway, moving on right along, Chiefs smoke the Cardinals, 44-21. Yep. Any rumors of their demise is greatly exaggerated. As we predicted, again, we talked about this at length week one, Gaz, like last week.
That literally looks closer than it was. Yeah. Like, Mahomes was just fucking there on point. Fucking the weird angle sidearm throws were there, like everything. He's as we predicted, like with Hill gone, but then bringing in a couple of extra, I guess, mid-tier receivers, just spread the ball around. And, mate, I think old mate's going back to Call of Duty, to be honest. Kyler didn't look sharp at all, right? Like, it just kind of wasn't there. I think Zach Ertz didn't touch the ball till the third or fourth quarter. There's some players in, like, yeah, it was just not a good game all around for Arizona.
So Mahomes had, I believe it was 9 different receiving targets in this game.
Yep.
And his 5 touchdown passes went to 4 different dudes. So
there you go.
Maybe you don't need Tyreek Hill. I'm just saying. Chargers beat the Raiders 24-19. Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, best mates. That's kind of nice. Adams at 141. Chargers look so much better, though. Just their defense was unreal. Tampa Bay.
Was it fucking, Khalil Mack 3? What I was going to say about when the more things change, the more stay the same. So there's been a few players who've moved who just kept on doing what they fucking do.
Right? Yeah, I'm going to hit that in a second
Khalil
as well,
Mack
I reckon.
Khalil Mack was one of those as well. It's fucking killing it.
Dallas got stomped, just ball stomped by Tampa Bay, 19-3. Look, the defense held up to the point where Tom Brady isn't like, you know, tearing them up, but they were sort of always getting within field goal range a little bit too easy. But I mean, what? There was like one Mike Evans touchdown in this and the rest was field goals. So bit of a gross one. Dak obviously goes out with at the end with a busted hand, but he was fucking horrible all game anyway. So it's kind of one of those things you're like, I don't know. Sure. Like, is Dak Prescott any good? We just don't know.
Fucking Cowboys subreddit has fucking exploded as understanding because they're like, no, Jerry Jones is like, no, we don't need Amari. We don't need, you know, just fucking a whole bunch of defensive pieces we don't make. The only highlight for the Cowboys in that entire game was Micah. Like, Parsons got to, like, just, they could not stop him. He got to Tom a bunch of times and, you know, Evans did Evans things and then the field goals on the other side. But you got to worry about where the Cowboys are going because fucking hell, mate, they're the only team in the East who didn't win this week. So I just would like to remind any listener out there who's a Cowboys fan.
And Denver.
But at this point, why would you still be listening to me?
Exactly. Denver lose in Seattle in the Russell Wilson Bowl, 17-16. Hilarious fashion. Broncos country. Let's ride. Shut up, dork. You're fucking lost. And Gino, I love it. What was the line?
I was trying to think of it.
They wrote me off and I didn't write back. I love it.
That's it.
I love it.
That's it. That's it.
They tried to write me off, but I didn't write back. It doesn't make any sense, but I love it. Good on him.
There was there was actually part of the press conference where at the end, after he's done the thing, that Rusty had to pull himself up because he nearly said, go Hawks. Like, oh, that's Hawks. Awkward. That's fucking awkward.
All right,
he got to Jerry Jeudy. He actually played all right, but I was watching rewatching that today. There was like 6 fucking fumbles. What was it? 2 fumbles. The Broncos had two fumbles at the 1 yard line.
2 fumbles at the 1 yard yard line. They went 0-4 in the red zone. So they were there all game, and they didn't capitalize.
I'll tighten that up. I'm not worried about that. I am like,
That was one of the, like, I mean, this was my pick from the get-go. And if you remember the end of last week's show, it was literally like, yeah, my changes during the week to Denver. But then I just stayed on Seattle, obviously, because I'm like, look, fuck it. At home, getting those many points, the hype will be crazy. If Denver pull it out, boom, off they go.
That sounds rigged.
some quick yeah nahs. Let's do it. Overreactions. Is the season over for Dallas? Yeah nah.
Mate, I mean, to be honest,
it might be fucking up.
Fuck, seriously, right? So A, they were horrible, right? So they were originally, the press came out pretty much, Ian Rappaport came out, getting information from the team that he was aiming for the 30th of October, which is week 8 against the Bears. Next minute, Jerry's come out and said it's going to be 4 weeks and they're going to rush him back basically for the Eagles game. Now, let's go back to Rusty Wilson last year. A slight different injury, but both to the hand and came back. And how did rushing that back go for those couple of weeks until he was 100%? They were fucked. Now, the difference is the Cowboys are going to be relying on Cooper fucking Rush and not exactly setting the world on fire. And they came out and said, well, are you going to be picking up a veteran? You know, Jimmy G could be potentially on the market for the right price. And they're like, no, because he's only going to be gone for 4 or 5 weeks. By the time someone got adjusted to our system, we might as well stick with an average quarterback that knows our system rather than a veteran who knows fuck all about it. Well, by that stage, the way that their lineup is, their roster is working out, it could be like 1-4, 1-5, and of those, like 3 of them are division games. So I'm not thinking that it's an overreaction, Jimmy.
Pack her up, boys. Mike McCarthy, yeah. First coach to be fired. Yeah, nah.
Oh, see, that was one of the things that has been already floating around a couple of the other podcasts who know a lot more than us. But has this, I think you can go the other way, has this injury to the star quarterback bought him another year?
Yeah.
If he was already going to fucking lose.
No, it's brought him to the end of the season, if that's the case.
Yeah.
It's like he's getting replaced regardless by Sean Payton.
Yeah, 100%.
Other really, really quick ones. Is it over for Denver, the Patriots, the Titans? Yeah, nah. Look, nah. I think it's Denver will turn that around. Nah. Patriots, we're mediocre at best anyway. Like, the season's just going to go nowhere. Titans, their defense wasn't bad. Just some weird offense. They didn't have much going with Henry. And it was like, you have that moment where you go, oh, yeah, we don't really have, we had AJ Brown. Now we have no one good. So this is weird.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can't, they're expecting really to replace a superstar, well, a veteran of 3 years with a first game rookie in Burks.
Yep.
So it was never going to be instant. but I think they'll adjust and they'll be all right. But you know what? As we talked about before, with, so much of any of the talent pool gone from the NFC to the AFC, you're going to have to be shit hot even to get a wild card spot in the AFC this year.
And I mean, my season breakdown was literally there's 12 teams going into 7 playoff spots, I think. And that was like maybe giving the Pats an outside shot of like finishing 9-8 or something like that. But
that's fucking hopeful.
Anyway, it really is. Jameis, a bit of a roughy MVP, just saying. Yeah, nah.
No, mate, I had him as comeback player last week, right?
Ooh, comeback player is a good one. Yeah, if he stays healthy.
Even CMC, right?
CMC wasn't exactly a world beater, I'm just saying.
Week one. Chiefs. Mate, to be honest, I don't know about MVP, but like definitely comeback player.
Chiefs, they unbackable, you know?
Unbackable.
They're at I feel like they're at 540 for like, oh no, they were like 750 for the Super Bowl already. And yeah, it seems fairly short.
But at 750
at this point, you're still kind of
crazy,
like, fuck yeah,
man. That West Division is anything can happen. It's a long season, Jimmy. It's a long season.
But still, my last little yeah nah here is the Super Bowl winner after week one will be one of KC, Buffalo, or the Chargers. Yeah, nah.
Yeah, I mean, we'd already picked Buffalo. So I'm comfortable. There is no standout, and I know overreaction central after week one, but we said it last week, there's no one standout in the NFC, right? And you've got to be, it's pretty comfortable to say that one of those three is going to get through. I'm not convinced on the Chargers. I need to see that defense actually come together. On paper, it's great, and that's why on paper, it's great to say that, you know, Philly's an outside dark horse, but we've done fuck all so far.
Yep.
And so is Chargers, really, except what Khalil Mack did this week. So, I want to see it come together, but, mate, Buffalo and KC, you could definitely see that as an AFC championship game.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of everything sort of generally as well, like, in terms of chaotic, messy week ones, I still think, like, preseason matters a little bit, like, Green Bay, Vegas, Cincy, Tennessee, Denver, like just really scrappy sort of teams this year. And then like the other ones that sort of came in with QBs trying to prove a point, having played a bunch in the preseason, like Atlanta and Seattle and Detroit and Chicago and stuff, they actually looked all right, right? Home underdogs. That was, it felt like a bit of a big thing this week, this year as well. Week one, Chicago, Detroit, Houston, Atlanta, Minnesota, Seattle, all covering. And those are all pretty bad teams apart from Minnesota, right? And like even like the Commanders probably shouldn't have been favored really if you think about it, but they pulled it out. But basically it's like home field advantage might matter sometimes in week one if you don't have to travel. You've got your people there. If you're an underdog, maybe you pull it out. Rookie head coaches. Was it four or five got the win. Kind of like that, apart from Nathaniel Hackett because he thought $250 million man couldn't get the job done. So tried to kick the second longest field goal in NFL history to win a game. KC still rule, as mentioned. They're really good. But the thing was, you sort of touched on this, big performances from big names. It's coaches leaning on known factors, right?
Entities, right?
But Justin Jefferson, Saquon. There's an adjustment factor
that wasn't causing missing the year, like kind of,
Jonathan Taylor, Devontae Adams, Jamar Chase, Pittman, AJ Brown, Cooper Kupp. It was basically like everyone who wasn't Najee Harris or DK or Alvin Kamara, I think. It's like, and Derrick Henry's like a bit mediocre, but it's like one of those things. It's week one. Coach is going to lean on the players that they know they can trust, and the playbook will sort of open up. And it's going to get weird as well, though, because, underdogs went 8-8 this week, but now there's tape on everybody. So it's going to get a little bit tougher. Really, really quickly, for some Gaz good blokes of the week, some old mate, no mates.
Oh, mate, good bloke of the week. I have to give it to Jazzy Fields, right? Like, he's been just slagged off as, like, a bottom two or three teams in terms of quality, in terms of expectations, in terms of the talent around him about who he was going to pass to. And he was against basically what had been considered his almost like a draft nemesis, because it was the same player, same skill set. In Trey Lance, and fucking came out on top. So you can't really ask for much more. Trey obviously had a day to forget, considering he's looking over his shoulder constantly. He's got, you know, division played against a division rival and has started out 0-1. But Juzzy, you're not going to have the greatest year. You're not going to be surrounded by talent, but you got to chalk this up as a fucking high five to the boys, right?
Love it.
Old mate, no mates. Fuck, this is... I'm going to start with a group and then fucking narrow it down, but kickers just trying to fucking put the game away. Right? How many missed field goals in week one? You're like, you know, Jesus Christ. But specifically, Rodrigo Blankenship, mate. The guy who was the buzz, the novelty, the glasses, the most recognizable kicker in the fucking...
Oh, Foggles.
Holy shit. First of all, you missed... Obviously, the Colts end up drawing with a shitty team who's going to come nowhere near the playoffs. You missed the 42-yarder to win. But before that, you've kicked two. Not one, but two out of bounds. Straight out of bounds. So the opposition start at the 40. Like, that is out of control. And then on top of that, to just top off your week as well as kicking shit, you lose your job after week one, Jimmy. Week fucking one. It's almost like losing your job on your day off, as they would say on Friday.
How do you get fired on your day off?
Literally fucking no mates. Yep. It's just gone home with no mates to hang out with. So, Rodrigo Blankenship, this is yours this week, mate.
Definitely old mate, no mates.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Captain Fantasy, really quickly, win for Jim. I thought I was on the back foot there against in the old... NFL Australia Legends League against Josh, and I managed to beat him by 12, whereas you got absolutely bathed by Collins.
So. Oh, I was a mess, mate. Tough one. Absolute mess.
All right, let's do some previews for next week. Right. Some good picks, some great games this week. I'm stoked. I think I've already built up some, I absolutely managed to completely middle a lot of my money picks last week. I had... You might remember I was talking up Cincy and I was a little bit dubious on that Niners thing, and I wasn't sort of ballsy enough to really go with some of those home underdogs, actually, because I think I picked the Giants last week as well. Stuff like that. But my sort of big favorites just really did not hit. But because I really loaded up on that Minnesota game, managed to middle it pretty nicely. And then for Seattle, because I actually did believe in that a little bit more, I think it was Seattle and the under. And that sort of brought me back to bang on. I think I literally don't think I could have middled the week any better. So got out of there, you know, feeling safe. Didn't get a massive bath, so I'll take that. Came out of it with a kid instead. So you'll take that as well.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a win for the week. Anyway, we've got two Monday night games as well, Gaz, which is always a fucking absolute pleasure for us here in Australia because it just means that the morning goes longer, which is always nice. So Thursday night, though, what an absolute belter. You got the AFC West, Chargers, KC. Love this. We've both gone the Chargers plus 4.5. I went this, Gaz, just simply because I feel like this is a close game. The Chiefs win it, but it's fucking close.
I'm thinking the same. There's a few of these that I've looking down the list now that I've got no choice, but I'm just on with you, and this is one of them. And I think that KC is possibly going to get it, but I don't think the Chargers are the easy beats. That like I don't think they're just get into a shootout and then Mahomes throws a late touchdown to end it like that. They may have potentially happened before. I think that they can keep it close. I think that defense is going to keep them honest. And yeah, they don't have to blitz like they did because they've now got Khalil Mack up the middle. So you can blitzing fucking Mahomes is pointless because he's going to find that open man. So being able to rush four and then drop the rest is going to give him a chance to keep it a little bit closer. So,
I do love it.
Yeah.
Also, Juzzy fucking Herbs, plus Juzzy 4.5. Give me the points. The Jets going to Cleveland. They are a mess, the Jets. 5.5 points, though, they're getting from Cleveland. But we've both landed with the Browns because at least they're vaguely confident. And now they're going to be at home for this game. It feels like they should just keep the Jets like at arm's length and beat them just enough, right?
I feel like they're just going to launch on the ground. It's just going to be a ground attack, right? It's just going to be...
I'm sort of worried about that, right? Fucking, you know, after what they did to Baltimore last week, I'm kind of like, shit, are the Jets a little bit too sturdy? And maybe Cleveland sort of just run out of options and the Jets just keep it close enough and Cleveland pull it out of their ass.
Yeah, no, I think that at Cleveland, the Jets, I think they're just going to find a way to Jets it up.
Classic Jets.
It's just classic Jets.
So we've both gone Cleveland there. Cleveland, Washington go to Detroit. We've both landed on the Lions, -1.5. It's because they're probably okay, and I don't think the Commanders are. And if there's an actual team that wants to really Wentz it up,
yeah,
Carson Wentz, it's going to be like Detroit just are going to go after him and just sort of ruin his shit, I think. So,
well, I can tell you, so, you know, that offensive line, they were missing a couple of guards, I think, last week. But, you know, Penny Sewell is like, there's a few guys on that offensive line that are fucking great for the Lions. Fucking Jared Goff, like when you look at him now, that noodle arms dude, how the fuck he was no one overall pick. It's just it's actually crazy to think. But that defense is that although we put up 38 points on them, like that defense, like the, Hutchinson is gonna strap down and gonna be causing a bit of grief. We all know that Wentz holds the ball too fucking long, which is one of his things that's always caused him a few too many issues. So, mate, I reckon that at home, that this could be one of the ones that they sneak out.
They right? do. And I think this is the start of the Hutchinson Defensive Rookie of the Year run.
Yeah.
100% right here. This is like the week where the cash out on my bet goes above what the bet was. You know, that's,
yeah, right, okay.
I'm just saying. Tampa Bay, they're going to New Orleans. We've both landed on the Saints plus 2.5 because what's the run? Is it five straight that they've beat? Four straight and they've lost one in the playoffs, right? Against Tampa Bay, but they've beaten him every time in the regular season.
Yeah, they've got that defense. It's just fucking pretty good.
Yep.
Although they have Gardner Johnson is now with the Eagles, who's known for just standing in Tom's face. But yeah, they just there's definitely an injury-ravaged Tampa team at
exactly.
the moment.
Especially on the offensive line, right? So if you think about the way that the Saints just ruin Tampa Bay shit every other time. It's like just getting to him and causing havoc. And like Tampa Bay, obviously we saw it against Dallas. They didn't look wildly comfortable or wildly competent. No. Again, this is like, you know, preseason matters. Tampa Bay, you know, just fucked off for 2 weeks. But I just kind of like the Saints getting points at home. I'm just like, fuck it. Like this could be one that Tampa Bay win by a point 2 points, yep. but if I'm getting 2.5, if I get 3 in this game, I'm taking that in a heartbeat. 3.5, yeah. fucking sign me up. But yep. Let's go Saints, Giants, home to Carolina. We're both on the Giants. I think you just cut and pasted all my picks here, guys.
No, I did. I watched the first 5 and I was like, oh, fuck, they're all the same. And then I've started to, from here down, I've got a couple of different, mate.
I love it. But the Giants, look, this is a weird one. I just landed this is the home team. Like, I have zero faith in Carolina going on the road after losing at home to Cleveland and Jacoby Brissett going on the road. I can't see them just beating a Giants team that has, you know, Saquon firing on all cylinders. Danny Jones is doing some weird shit. Because this 100% feels like I'd take Carolina plus 2.5, and of course they'd lose on like a field goal at the end from the Giants or something stupid. So,
yeah. Look, I feel like there's just a Giants team that has this irrational faith at the, like early in the year, and they're like, oh, that's right, Danny Dimes is fucking terrible and fumbles 30,000 times a game. Oh, yeah, we're that team. Yes. And then they'll get injury riddled and Saquon will go down. And then, yeah. So, but this is the game that they pull away with.
So Mike McCarthy was the pick there for first coach to be fired. Cliff Kingsbury's another one. Matt Rhule, boom, right here. If they 0-2, it's not going to go much longer, I reckon.
Wow.
Oof. Especially losing to, like, you know, Cleveland and then the Giants. Fuck. Anyway,
yeah.
Pats go to Pittsburgh. I've got New England -1.5. I just think this Pittsburgh defense without TJ Watt is going to be a little bit wonky, and I think the Pats turn around. You've gone Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I feel like you needed... It's only 1.5 points, Jimmy. After what just happened with Miami, I feel like you need to justify your pick a little bit more. TJ Watt is not enough to justify this team that just took apart fucking Joe Burrow, and you reckon your Pats? You reckon...
I think this is the go on the road... Get your season started the right way. 1-1.
All right.
Throw the kitchen sink at it. You can't go 0-2. But Miami, yeah, this is the thing. I'm always like very pessimistic every time we play the Dolphins because just for some completely unknown fucking reason, literally for the last 20 years, they've had the Pats number. Like we'll always split the season series with them 1-1 or something. And especially down in Miami, it's always a fucking horror show. So the Pats on the road in Pittsburgh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. And, look, I don't have that much faith in the Patriots, but I think this might be the one where they sort of pull it out and you go, oh, okay, maybe this season isn't a disaster.
Oh, mate, I might be completely wrong, but I think, you know, you guys struggled to cover the multiple receivers last week. I think that's one of the things the Steelers have got. Najee's obviously gimpy, so that doesn't help. And obviously TJ going down, but they're not a one-man defense. Yep. So I think, I think Pittsburgh's got you covered.
Jacksonville, we both picked them 4.5-point underdogs at home against this Indy team that we just sort of talked about. It's a weird one. I think Jacksonville just, like, getting 4.5 at home, I think that's just a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the distance, right? I think it's like, you know, based on what we didn't see a powerful Indy offense that's going to put up a spread like last week, and we could be proven wrong. Like, JT might go off, but I think it's going to be kept close.
I mean, he went off this week as well. So it's like one of those things where how much does it matter if they're getting torn apart by Houston anyway?
True.
Anywho, so both the Jags there. Miami at Baltimore. I've actually gone Miami +3.5. Baltimore at home. I kind of feel like Miami just got a little bit of something here. And Baltimore just a little bit wonky after that. Not wildly convincing beatdown of the Jets. And +3.5. It's just a little bit too high. I think Baltimore just squeaked this out if they do win. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do, but I just think it'll be really close. So that's why I'm going Miami.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just this vibe, like at home, they're coming off that high of taking out that division rival. I think Lamar settles in and takes it. The running game was shut down pretty convincingly. And like, I think they come out to try and make a statement, and I reckon they cover the 3.5.
Interesting. We've got Atlanta at the Rams. You've actually gone the Falcons here. I've gone the Rams -10.5 because the Falcons are going to cop all of the Rams' fucking frustration from last week. They'll have taken, a week and a half off. They've sat there stewing about having their ass handed to them by the Bills. The Rams are going to fucking put a hurt on Atlanta. -10.5. It's like, this is going to be 38-10. 100%.
That is definitely one of my fears. And that was definitely a thought that went through my brain. But I'm like, 10.5, they'll slow down the game. They've definitely made, one of the comments we made last week was that Cordarrelle is going to be saved a little bit more from all those touches. I think they made it clear in week one that he is going to be the bell cow in terms of running that ball. And with Mariota like still scrambling, maybe they shorten the game, maybe they keep it close. I don't know. The 10.5 based on that Rams. I know the Bills defense is not the fucking Atlanta defense, but I'm just having a crack at them keeping it under 10.5.
Nah, you and me might be on that Atlanta defense. We just don't know it.
Seattle,
San Francisco. I had problems with this one. -9.5 point favorites. I just landed on that because I think they're at home. I think the Seahawks played their absolute little hearts out in week one. Short week. Niners playing in the fucking weird mess. I think they'll come out and try to prove a point at home and win this one. Probably by 10. Like, that's my vibe. 9.5. They just cover this, I think. You've got Seattle.
Seems a lot. It just seems a lot. It is a lot, though, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, when I saw that, I'm like, fuck, that's a lot of points.
For Trey Lance. But Trey Lance has shown us nothing, Jimmy. He's like not against us any, like, this specific team. He's not fucking shown us anything so far. So I just can't hand on heart say that I'm going to go with the Niners to cover 9.5 points. After they lost to the weather was fucked, but they put up 10 points. They've already got injuries in the running back room. And I think Seattle, Geno's the second coming of Jesus, apparently. But, Geno, they've still got some weapons. Rashad Penny still broke a few this week against a stout Denver defense. I think, mate, 10.5 points, 10 points is too much. So I'm definitely going with Seattle on that one.
Yeah, it's also a weird one. I think Shanahan and Pete Carroll, I think, Shanahan has the wood over McVay, but Carroll has the wood over Shanahan as well. So it's like this weird sort of rock, paper, scissors vibe. But yes, I mean, the Niners lose this week. Seattle win. And somehow the Niners are 9.5 point favorites. Fucking nightmare to pick. But I'll still take the Niners. Cincy, they go to Dallas as 7.5 point favorites. We've both landed Cincy. Dallas are a mess. Cincy are going to fucking light this one up, I think.
Oh, 100%. And there's also an element of the, the pissed off vibe that you had about the Rams. Yep. Oh, Joe's going to be like, there's going to be a whole bunch of ego involved. This is going to come out and smoke Dallas offense that was already shit and then playing Cooper Rush.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've gone with that exact vibe for like the next three games as well. Denver -9.5 over Houston. I've got the same vibe with that. I think the Broncos playing at home, their home opener record is like fucking crazy. Early in the season, you're in the altitude. They pulled their shit together. Obviously, the reason they lost that Seattle game was the weird red zone fuck-ups, and I think they smashed Houston. So I think 9.5. Again, it was a lot of points, but I'm like, for a team that lost this week versus a team that tied Indy, bit brutal, but I'll still take Denver.
I think we had this... I'm starting to think that we had an underestimation of that Houston defense. Even when they lose, they just have seemed to manage to keep things a bit closer than expected, right? So that does seem like a lot of points for a Denver team that didn't really... yes, there was a lot of turnovers, but I don't know. I've still got question marks about it. Rusty played well. Judy, like that. That said, that Judy touchdown, that long Judy one, if that was in step, it was underthrown. I don't know. I'm just not convinced on Denver yet. So I reckon they're going to cover. That's 9.5 points. It's too much.
No, so we're both on the Raiders -5.5 over the Cards because the Cards are trash. Raiders aren't that bad, so they should cover that one.
Yeah, they haven't shown much. Yep.
And Green Bay, talk about pissed off. They're going to smash Chicago on Sunday Night Football. 9.5 point favorites. We've both gone with Green Bay. So,
yeah, they'll be pissed off. Chicago will be false sense of security, really.
Tennessee at Buffalo. I've gone Tennessee. So this is one of those weird ones where I think the Titans and Mike Vrabel always sort of play Buffalo weirdly tough. Talk about embarrassed after week one. They lose to the Giants. It's going to be brutal. I think they just... they lose this one in a sort of tight-ish kind of thing, but cover that 9.5.
Yeah, so I've gone the opposite to exactly the same conversations that we've just had about the Denver game and about the Rams game. I'm now flipping and being the other side of the coin and saying I think the Bills are just going to come out and smoke them.
They might. They really might.
Because they're adjusting. That offense is still adjusting. And even though the defense might keep them to a reasonable score, I think they're still fighting their feet.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like I believe in the fight of the Titans a little bit more. You know, we sort of wrote them off all last year. They were still the one seed. Anyway, Minnesota or Philly.
I remember what they were like last year. I remember the Titans.
Good one.
I did it.
You can show yourself out. Minnesota or Philly, last game of the week. This is the second of the Monday night doubleheader. I love this one. This is a great last game of the week as well. Minnesota, Philly. We're both gone. The Vikings, +1.5. This is because...
It's the Jalen Reagor Bowl, mate. It's the Jalen Reagor Justin Jefferson Bowl.
I love it. Minnesota at Philly, +1.5, the Vikings. This was me just going, I think you alluded to it, right? Like the defense just isn't quite there yet for Philly. And Minnesota are a little bit better than Detroit. So I think they can... Minnesota can win
Gardner
this one
Johnson
outright.
It's like he was a little bit still finding his feet last week. Like Bradbury... that we got on from the Giants at our number two cornerback, even though he had a pick six, he was like still, he didn't play any of the preseason. There's still a lot of that, like the rookies are still finding this, but there's just a lot of gap shit that I feel like Dalvin Cook's going to tear us a new one. And the safety help isn't there. So I think Justin Jefferson might have his second big week in a row. That said, obviously they said that, Devontae Smith didn't touch the ball last week, and they said don't take anything from that. But I feel like this might be a bit of a wake up call for Philly, and they might lose their home opener.
Checks out, bit of a weird one. That's where we've gone. But either way, I went 9-7 last week. Gaz went 7-9. So look, all hail the champion, Jimmy. But that's it. Week one of NFL Australia. We had to fly through this one. Apologies, day late. A little bit of a shorter show, but I mean, this is it. I've got a crying 4-day-old out there. So.
We've just snuck in under an hour, so there's got to be some people out there who are pretty fucking happy. Who are like, you fucking jerks are always an hour and a half. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's like, how about you do this every week? Have another kid.
Fuck. Yeah, just fucking...
meanwhile, I know. Fuck all sleep. I'm the one, you know, looking after a 3.5-year-old most of the time. It's poor old mate who's stuck with the actual, you know, 4-year-old, a 4-day-old that... doing most of the heavy lifting, so I'm not even the one mostly impacted by this, but still pretty gnarly. So pretty happy, pretty stoked. Old mate's a fucking champion. One of those classic moments again that you're always reminded. Just going, oh yeah.
I married someone way, way better than me.
Way fucking better. We're a bunch of fucking morons. Anyway. Right. So good times hanging out. Mum and baby crushing it. So apologies for being a day late, but you get that on the big jobs, and big jobs include having a baby. Hey, look, I fucking signposted this last week. I'm just saying.
That's it.
Right, that's it. Week one in the bag. Love it. That was fun as shit as well. What a week it was. Like half awake watching shit, like, you know, 4:30 in the morning, like on, again, like 4 hours sleep. Cause I think that was the day the squid was born. I got home, pretty late that night, as you can imagine. And yeah. Woke up like 4 hours later.
How many
fucking NFL,
how
let's go.
Slipping straight back into that thing. Like, were you like, oh, fuck, in the off season where you do, like, you get to sleep in every Monday and like, I don't remember how I did this. How the fuck did I do this during summer last year? Like, just getting up all that time. That's ridiculous. The moment the NFL season starts, you're like, fucking slip straight back into it. I'm like, I don't need to watch the first quarter. I'm going to wake up at 4 o'clock and then kind of fast forward through plays and catch up. My body woke me up at 3 o'clock and went, fuck it, Eagles football, cunt. Let's go.
But remember, it gets better. You know, the 4 a.m. start, the 5 a.m. start, it gets a lot easier. Either way.
The games get more competitive, right? Like you want halfway through the year, the race starts to thin out, and you start to realize who's who and the games matter more. And it's like everyone's got the excuse of we're adjusting and 0-0 and everyone's the same. But it only gets better from here, mate. It only gets better from here.
Love it. Obviously, we're going to stay weekly from here on out. That's what we do now. Yeah, I don't know. Gaz might end up.
Unless you've got any other sprogs that you're popping out between now and February, mate.
Who knows? Like Gaz still might end up with like a surprise co-host if I can't do one or whatever here and there. But whatever, we'll see how we go. In the meantime, Chuck, I still reckon it'd be fun to see Gaz do an NBA Australia impersonation on NFL Australia and do an hour by himself. But
I'm not going to lie to everyone who listens here. I have quietly been shitting myself all week with the fact that you guys may potentially have to listen to an hour of Gaz. There's some guys out there who've listened to me for an hour speaking non-stop at a pub, and fucking they're not welcoming that. So let's be thankful that Jimmy showed up.
Love it. All right, so don't forget to smash us a follow or whatever on the old facey Twitter IGs. We haven't been posting that much. I've been busy. Sorry. Thank us a rating and review and on all your podcast apps, all that sort of dumb shit. Big thanks to House Hats for the intro and outro song. They rule. Get around NBA Australia. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, I think it'll be. Obviously, preseason hasn't even started yet, so I'm still good there. Smash Code Bet, that's my new gig. Loving that. Having lots of fun. Doing lots of actual NFL coverage, actually. Bit of a hole in the market there. So, you know, don't know if my picks went all right this week. I should go back and check that. But either way, Gaz, what do you got to plug?
Mate, just Eagle Australia. Started posting a bit more. Like, just trying to get more involved. There's a fair bit of interaction with some Aussie Eagles fan, which is great. I keep promising that I'm going to start doing some shit, but then I go fly to Sydney and sing piss for 3 days. So, anyway, we might start to get some video stuff involved in both NFL Australia and Eagle Australia. See what happens.
Love it. All right, that's it. We'll see you next week. You dickheads.
Bye.
Later, Eisen. Wah, wah.
Ha ha!